And let us turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 13, coming to the conclusion of Matthew chapter 13. Well, where we're going to go in this sermon series, Lord willing, we're going to make a jump next week. But we're looking at the parables of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the parable of the dragnet. And there's a change of time and place here at this point at the end of these verses. We read that in verse 53. And so I think we've come to a point at which we can break and move to a different place in God's Word. So let us hear together God's Word, verses 44 through 53 of Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew it to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this morning, as we consider the value of the kingdom of heaven, how much value do we assign to it in our lives? In the world around us, eternal things are of a very small value. But brothers and sisters, as we think of our own lives, and all of the other people on this earth too, by the way, the time here on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. Are we living in light of the value of what God gives to us in Jesus Christ? Are we drawn aside, as we said earlier, by the stuff of this world, the shiny trinkets, the tools? Everything that we have here on this earth is a tool. And we perhaps know people with the big snap-on toolbox. There are people who are worried about the tools. Stuff on this earth, money, the different things of this world, are tools. What do we do with them? Do we fall down and worship the tool? The stuff? There's some people who might do that with those snap-ons, no. But brothers and sisters, we're called to use the tool to do something, right? The tool doesn't have real value in itself. It has value in what it can do. And the stuff of this world has value because of where it can go, what it can do. Not just that we see, wow, that's a nice toolbox full of stuff. And so as we look at this passage, we are confronted with the value of the kingdom of heaven, the value of eternal life. And notice that in these first two parables, what does the person do when they find out about it? Yeah, I'll throw a 50-cent piece at it. See if I can get a cheap one on eBay. No, he sells all that he has. brothers and sisters, what do we have that's more important than eternal life? Do we value the kingdom of heaven, eternal life, at its true value? Yes, Jesus tells us to count the cost. It's going to cost us something to be a Christian. But on the other hand, is the value worth the cost? And I would argue that there is nothing that we could give that is of greater value than the eternal life that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is reminding us of this morning. Jesus reminds his people of the overwhelming value of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus reminds his people of the overwhelming value of the kingdom of heaven. In verses 44 through 46, we see selling all for the treasure of the kingdom. In verses 47 through 50, we see that God will divide the believers from the unbelievers at the end of the age. And in verses 51 through 53, we see that Jesus encourages his disciples in an historical understanding of the kingdom of heaven. That the kingdom of heaven doesn't just arise all of a sudden with Jesus on this earth. So first of all, we look at the hidden treasure, selling all for the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? This is a phrase which is used exclusively in Matthew's gospel. And I see two references. There are different references even in our own passage. We look at the pearl of great price. We look at the hidden treasure here. And those seem to have the understanding of the eternal life which we have in Jesus Christ. But we look at the parable of the dragnet. And it speaks about the kingdom of heaven being like a dragnet that gathers some of every kind. And at the end of the world, there's going to be a division. So I think we have two parallel references, but we have to understand that there is the final kingdom of heaven in the new heavens and the new earth, but there is also the kingdom of heaven which is inaugurated at the time of Christ on this earth, and it's going to include some of every kind. And that's okay. In fact, it's a very good thing. And so as we see Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure. The kingdom of heaven, having eternal life in Jesus Christ, to be a part of God's people on this earth, and by extension of that, a part of God's people in eternal life, is of great value, in fact, the most important things. But notice it's hidden. The man found it hidden in a field. This treasure is not something that is obvious to everyone. In fact, as we talked about in Ladies' Aid, that we can look at it, even as Christians, we can look at this world and be blinded to the intricacies and the awesomeness of God's showing of himself to us in this world. It's a mystery. And the Bible uses that word, the New Testament uses that word concerning the kingdom of God in many different ways. Earlier in this chapter, going back to verse 11, he answered and said to them, "Because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." This is a mystery. This is hidden. Think about 1 Timothy 3:16, a verse we use often to talk about the word of God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up in glory. But this is a mystery to the world. This isn't open and seen by everyone. 1 Peter 1:10 and following, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Notice, even those who were used of God to prophesy, even angels are at wonder of the mysteries of the coming of Christ, which was hidden and still very much not understood in this world. So the man, the kingdom of heaven, is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found. And finding it, he hid it. The value of the gospel is greater than anything else we could ever have. He realized that value when he found it, and he sells, we're told, all that he has and buys that field. Are we treating it as that way? As it has that value to us? And then we have the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. This promise of eternal life is this pearl. This merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Now, a merchant is not just your average guy on the street seeing a treasure, but a merchant is someone who has knowledge of pearls and what kind of pearls are good and important. Someone who studies and thinks about religion and not just your average person. And this merchant is seeking beautiful things, seeking the important things out of life. And he found the pearl of great price, the gospel. When he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The gospel, the kingdom of heaven, is that pearl of great price, the most important thing. Rather to lose everything that we have than lose salvation in Jesus Christ. And we continue with the parable of the dragnet. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. The kingdom of heaven seems, as we said, to have a little different reference here. The church today is the gathering of those who identify themselves as Christians. We can't look into your heart, and you can't look into my heart. And so it's filled with believers, and there's going to be unbelievers too. And they're going to be of every color and shade and all of the different things that we see on the outside as human beings. God says it's like a dragnet. Now, the idea of the net that's being spoken of here is one that has floats on the top and hangs down into the water and has weights on the bottom. But the kind of net isn't what's important. What's important is what it gathers. What do you get when you fish with nets? What's ever there, right? Some of every kind. The gospel is to go out to every creature, not that we expect dogs and cats, but the idea being that the gospel would go out to everyone. And remember that this would be shocking to the Israelites. They hated the other nations. They were dirty and scum. The kingdom of heaven is going to gather people of all kinds. Perhaps that other political party. God says it's going to go out to all. It's going to gather people of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it to shore. They sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad they threw away. When it was full, when the last believer has believed, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So God says, he's not going to end the world until the last person, that all should come to repentance, that all that he has called will turn. But at that time, when the net is full, when the last person believes, God will gather the net and there will be judgment. And God will judge. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. Now, I was asked about the end of the age. What is the reference here? The word and the wording here can only speak of the end of the world. The end of the age is a reference to the time in which Christ returns as judge. Reading from a lexicon, the meaning merges into that of a long but limited stretch of time. In particular, it signifies the time or duration of the world. For example, time is limited by creation and conclusion. And God will use his angels to separate the wicked from among the just. Notice who's doing the action here. God has brought everybody together, and now it's time for judgment, and that God is going to separate. Remember the wheat and the tares. And God will judge. And some of the things going on in this world today, and we can't figure it out, God will judge. And the wicked will be cast into God's just judgment. Now notice Jesus concentrates on the end of the wicked. They will be cast into the furnace of fire, into hell. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Isaiah 66, verse 24, "And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Wailing in pain. Hell is not a party, as our culture seems to have this idea. Hell is eternal pain and sorrow and gnashing teeth at God. And so Jesus then focuses on his disciples. He asks them, "Have you heard? Have you understood these things?" At the end of talking about the kingdom of heaven to the people in the parable through parables, Jesus checks specifically if they understood. Jesus is indicating that he's willing to explain, as he has before, what he's been talking about. It is important that we understand what we're hearing from God's word, and not just that we read it or hear it preached. It bounces off of our heads, goes in one ear and out the other, those sorts of things. It's important that we understand it. And they answer, "Yes, Lord." Now, perhaps I should be careful not to impugn their answer, but one sometimes has to wonder if they truly did. They often misunderstand what Jesus was saying until they were reminded of it later by the Holy Spirit. But they believed that they understood it, because when they didn't understand, they had asked for questions asked for explanation previously. But it's important for us that we don't just answer with a knee-jerk, "Yeah, I get it," if we don't. Because it's important to seek understanding of God's word, not just hearing it, like we talked about in Sunday school before. And Jesus, of course, is teaching his disciples as those who would be teachers. And so we have verse 52. "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Every scribe. Jesus is teaching disciples, by the way, as you know, they were not people from the scribe class in Israel. These were people who were from the normal workaday world. And Jesus talks to them and he says, those who are instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. Those who study God's word, by the way, at this point in history, scribes were the ones who were making copies of the Bible, of the Old Testament. But they were the ones who would then be familiar with the things of God's word. They would be instructed in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus has just been spending time with his disciples on, he says, is like a householder. Now, what's a householder? A householder is a person who takes care of the things of the house. Think actually of Joseph in the Old Testament when he was working for Potiphar. He had care over the house of Potiphar until Potiphar's wife, of course, got made trouble. And then he also had care over the whole country of Egypt, as a householder would have almost. He has a control of everything his master has, who is able to bring out different things at the proper time. His job is to care about the things that his master needs. And so this householder, this scribe who has studied the things of the kingdom of heaven, brings out things new and old. Jesus is being very clear that the kingdom of heaven is a continuation of the things which are taught in the Old Testament, and that these are things that would be understood in anew in the light of Jesus coming on this earth. Think of what we have been studying in Sunday school with the adults of the book of Hebrews. How he takes the things that are going on in the Old Testament and shows how they work out and how they're fulfilled, how there are the things that go on in the New Testament arise out of the Old Testament but are greater and more important and more awesome than the Old Testament things. One of my professors in seminaries liked to say, the new is in the old contained, and the old is in the new explained. That which we need is in the old. It's there. The New Testament is there. But also, the Old Testament is explained to us by what happens in the New Testament. And so, as a householder, as one who studies God's word, so many churches think, well, we get to the beginning of Matthew, rest of that, who cares, right? We don't need that stuff. No, the whole Bible is necessary, and Jesus is very clear about that here. Now, householder, someone who has a handle on what's going on in the kingdom of heaven, is going to see it throughout the Bible and bring it to God's people. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. Jesus teaches the disciples, and we've been looking at Jesus teaching all of these parables about the kingdom of heaven, about all of this different things. And now Jesus departs. Having asked, having made sure that the disciples understood, or at least thought they understood. And brothers and sisters, as we look at this fact of what God has taught about the kingdom of heaven, like a mustard seed, like leaven, God is raising up his kingdom in this world. And it's not going to be perfect and pure on this earth. It's like a dragnet. But brothers and sisters, we look forward to that day in which Christ shall come again to judge the living and the dead. We live in light of that. We use the stuff which we have, not to grab earthly things, but to prepare treasure in heaven. And so as we look at these parables, we see the kingdom of heaven as Jesus explains it to us. A kingdom we saw in the tares, where there are those growing up together. Some are wheat, some are tares. The church is a mixed multitude. But at the end of it, we need to understand the most important thing is that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And everything that we can gain on this world, Jesus says, what shall you give if you gain this whole world and lose your soul? What are we doing with the stuff we have here? What is the most important thing to each one of us? And how do we live in light of that? Amen. Let us then rise, let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, help us to see truly how important your kingdom is. The eternal life which you give to us, the spreading of your gospel within this world, that we would sell all that we have for that kingdom. We praise you, Lord, for the gift which you have given to us, your Son, that you gave your Son to death, to hell, in the place of us miserable sinners. And we pray, Lord, that we would treat that with value which it has in our lives. That we would not treat it as a common thing, but that we would realize and give to it the value which it has of eternal life beyond anything else we could ever ask or imagine on this world. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as a church to be used of you, to gather. And even if it means that there are those who might not be believers, but to preach the gospel to them, help us, Lord, to be a part of that dragnet that brings into your kingdom people of all kinds. And we pray, Lord, use us to bring your gospel to many thousands and millions of people. We pray this not because we are worthy, but we pray this for the glory and for the honor of our awesome Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.